Hi, family. My name is Janae, and I'm definitely an addict.
Hey, Janae.
I'd like to thank the God of my understanding for allowing me to get here safely, and to thank the Montgomery area for thinking enough of me to ask me to share. And one of the good things about this topic is it ain't something I ain't got to lie about. I ain't got to stand here and pretend that I know anything. And let me share that my home group is the Wednesday Wilderness Group in Silver Spring. We meet on Wednesdays at 7:30. It's an open discussion meeting, and it is one of the most loving groups in the Montgomery area. So if you're ever in that area on a Wednesday night, and you feel like you need to feel somewhere where you want to be loved and want to be accepted, come on in, and we'll take you on in. And then I'm going to qualify myself. When I got here, December 29th, 1989 is the last day that I used. December 30th for that same year is my clean date, and I haven't found it necessary to use since. And I need to say that if it wasn't for a home group, if it wasn't for the people in the home group and the unconditional love and the motivation, I might not be able to stand here with 12 years of uninterrupted clean time. So I am eternally grateful that God saw fit to put me in an area that embraced me when I got there. You know, when I first got to this program, I came through the court system, so I wasn't going to stay. I was coming here long enough to get those court slips signed, and for me in the beginning, not using was enough, you know. And for real, I just didn't want to catch another charge, you know. So I was going to get high again eventually. I was going to smoke reefer and drink beer because I didn't get locked up when I did those things, you know. But I kept coming back with the court slips, you know, and I was really having fun, you know, showing up, fellowshipping because I ain't know nothing about no damn program. You know, I was going to meetings, I was getting the slip signed, and I was fellowshipping, and I was having fun. And in the beginning, that was enough. And, you know, they said get a sponsor. That was for the real addicts, you know, get a home group. I didn't need one, you know. Because I really didn't think that I was going to stay. And in my mind, I wasn't an addict because I wasn't prostituting and shooting dope. You know, and I mentioned that to somebody after being here for a while. And they said, it's okay that you think you're not an addict. What you need to get in touch with is why you found it necessary to use for so long and why you couldn't stay stopped when you tried to stop. You know, so I'm here to report that I am definitely an addict. You know, and it's okay. It's okay today because that word addict has some shame and stigma to it. I grew up listening to people talk about addicts, and I was never going to be one of them. You know, I was not going to become one of those people, you know. But I'm here to report I'm an addict, living clean, you know, and I'm enjoying my life to the best of my ability one day at a time. You know, what happened for me was they said, get a sponsor. You know, I picked some girls. They was cute. They had these nice cars. You know, they was going to all the meetings. I don't know where the hell none of them women at today, you know. But I kept coming back anyway. Because for real, I was starting to enjoy myself. You know, I was showing up at places. People were glad to see me. I was glad to see some people. And I hadn't caught a charge. You know, now I don't know how big that would be for somebody else. But for somebody that kept going back and forth to Seven Locks, you know, this was a big damn deal, not going to jail. And what happened was after being here for a while, Life on Life's Terms showed up. And I ain't had no coping skills. You know, and I had chosen this lady that I know was for the right reasons to be my sponsor. And, she was a white woman from Pittsburgh that shot dope, and I ain't had a damn thing in common with her. But she was one of the most peaceful women that I had ever met in my life, you know. And I asked her what she sponsored me, and she told me, yeah, Janae, I'll sponsor you, but you're going to have to do some work, you know. So I would call in the middle of the day, hey, this is Janae, I'm checking in, everything all right, you know. And what happened for me was Life on Life's Terms showed up, and I ain't had no coping skills. And I called that lady, and I told her what was going on with me, snivel snotting and crying. And I wasn't taking responsibility for nothing. You know, she said to me real quietly, she said, you know, you're going to grow or go. Those are your choices, you know. And I'm eternally grateful for that process because it got me grounded in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And what she did was she introduced me to the 12 steps. The steps introduced me to me. And what I found out in that process was it's okay to be me. You know, so it's okay. If it's okay for me to be me, then it's okay to let y'all to get to know me. You know, because once I shared all of that stuff, you know, with somebody and I wasn't judged, it gave me the ability to feel a little bit more comfortable with who I was. Now, I've had a couple of home groups since I've been here. My first home group was this 12 noon meeting on Saturdays at this place in Silver Spring, you know. And I thank God for that because what that group did was gave me my foundation. You know, we showed up there every Saturday and it was some steps at the top of the building. And I was standing at the top of the steps after the meeting hall. Did anybody need a hug before they leave? You know, and for real, I needed the hugs, you know. But what that did was it gave me the ability to be free, you know. And eventually that facility closed down. I don't know if they ever restarted that meeting or not, but I used to go to this Monday group called Out From Under, you know, the 1-2-3 meeting, basic steps. And What happened was I started going to school on Mondays and Thursdays, and I was no longer able to attend that meeting. But that group, it was a real small group. It was like seven or eight of us, you know, and some months we struggled, you know, just to even pay the rent, you know. But what it did was it gave me a place to show up, you know, where people were going to love me unconditionally. I had a few service positions. I was the coffee maker at one time. At one time, I was the secretary, you know, and I enjoyed those things, you know. I needed some place to show up on a regular basis, and I needed the acceptance that I got in that home group. And that group is still in existence, and it meets at the exact same place that my home group is now, except for we meet on Wednesdays and they meet on Mondays. Most of those people still attend that meeting. It's real small. It's grown a little since then. But what that home group gave me was a sense of belonging, you know. And they look forward to seeing you. You know, you better not miss one or two Mondays in a row. Somebody was calling you. And that's what a home group is for. If don't nobody see you for a couple of weeks, somebody gonna call and check on you. You know, that's when you know that in spite of you, somebody loves you and they care. You know, because, you know, some Mondays I would feel like, well, you know, I ain't got to go to a meeting this week. You know, because we all do that. You know, I ain't going tonight, you know. And then, you know, you got to watch in something that had a continuing effort the next Monday, so you couldn't miss that show, you know. And somebody would call you, hey, where was you at tonight? You know, we need to see you. So that group let me know that I was loved no matter what. I was able to celebrate a couple of anniversaries there. You know, some of the people that came weren't home group members, but I still needed to see those people. I still needed somewhere to show up and belong. And this Wednesday Wilderness group that I'm going to talk about, I've been going to this particular group for over 10 years. You know, we've had a flux of people from time to time. There are a few members still in that group that have been coming since I've been coming. I'd like to say that it's changed. It really ain't changed. It's just that some of the people have changed, you know. And one of the wonderful things about being in this particular home group is you get to see them coming right out of treatment, you know. And they start out in the back row, you know. Sometimes we'll go back and say, come on up front, come on. You know, they're scared to death. They don't know what in the hell's going on. And then I'm one of those loud people, you know, when they introduce the newcomers. They say, hi, my name's Donna. I'm like, hey, Donna, how you doing? You know, and then they're looking at you like, damn, you know. But I do that for me, you know, because I want somebody when they come in that group to feel as welcome as I feel. Now everybody knows me by name, so they're going to hug me and embrace me. But I want somebody else to get that feeling, you know, so I do whatever it takes. And I blow kisses all across the room. You know, and then the next week when they come back, they're a little more, they're not as reluctant to say, hi, how you doing? You know, hey, girl, how you doing? Good to see you back. You know, that kind of stuff, you know. But you get to watch their progress in the rooms, you know, because anybody in my area knows me that I'm loud and boisterous when you welcome in the people, you know. But I feel good about that, you know. And I don't always do it for them all the time. Sometimes I do it for me because I need to see the faces of new people to come in these rooms, because they say that the newcomer is the most important person. You know, I need to see them come in here, because being here for a while, I don't struggle as much in a lot of areas. So my hope is watching you struggle through something and go through it, because with less than 6 months, it's hard to stick and stay. You know, when life on life's terms show up, a lot of them like, well, they want to run, you know. So the hope for me is watching them, even though it's minute to them, that's a big deal to me to see your ass come back. You know, you might be crying this week, you know. And like I said, a lot of them come out of treatment, so they don't know what in the hell to expect. You know, they don't know what's going to happen, you know. They don't even know if they want to be here, half of them, you know. But you get to watch them grow up and blossom and bloom right before your eyes, you know. And they might not make it their home group, but they'll keep coming back every week, you know. And that shit tickles me to no end. That is one of the joys of Narcotics Anonymous, is watching somebody else's progress, watching them grow up and blossom and bloom in this program. And for the few who make that their home group, you know, they do because it's a lot of love in that group, you know. We don't care, you know, the literature makes it perfectly clear. We don't give a damn where you are, how you get here, what alley you took, because my sponsor often says that it don't make a difference if you come from Park Bench or Park Road. When you get here, your pain's a 10, you know. And what that home group does is it doesn't lessen the pain. It just makes the painful moments a little easier to go through, you know. Now, myself, I've had some what I thought were devastating things happened to me in Narcotics Anonymous in my journey here, you know. And a lot of times my disease won't let me tell exactly what's going on because I've been here for a while. I should know better. You know, I'm helping everybody else. I can't tell everybody my business, you know. But what happens is, you know, they had that meeting before the meeting. You know, that's where they got those trusted servants sitting over there at the table because they get there early. They set out the literature. They make the coffee. You know, and it's always somebody at the door greeting you, you know. So by the time you cross the threshold on the Wednesday wellness, you feel a little bit better anyway. I'm blessed because a lot of those people in that home group know me like the back of their hand. So I can come in the room and say, hey, how you doing? I'm doing fine. You know, and they'll say, Janae, what's really going on? You know, so they can look in my face and tell me, you know, you can really tell me what's going on. And I have a few of those people in that group that I you know, ain't no holds barred. I tell it, I snivel, I snot, and I cry. You know, because I do know this. And Narcotics Anonymous will go on without me, but I cannot go on without this program. A lot of days I don't want to come back. You know, I'm tired of the effort and the energy that you put into staying clean one day at a time. The benefits ain't big enough. I'm tired of feeling like this. I did not get clean to feel like this shit, you know. And Wednesday night, I find myself sitting in that meeting, you know, feeling a whole lot better when I leave. And sometimes I come to the meeting not even knowing I'm not feeling good. You know, but you just feel so much better after the meeting. You know, we have the meeting after the meeting, and the meeting's over at 9 o'clock. Sometimes we outside almost 11 o'clock at night. You know, and that's when you really get to grab the newcomers then because, you know, it's like 8 or 9 of us here, but we know each other. We talking shit, you know, and we know who we talking about and this, and they standing there like this. You know, so you just slide on over where they are because they don't have the courage sometimes to slide over to us. You know, come on over here, girl. Come on over here and talk. What's going on with you? You know, and a lot of times they don't say a damn thing. It's just the fact that you asked them to come. You know, and a lot of them, you don't even have to ask them to come. They just want to slide up next to you anyway, you know. And eventually they start to open up and tell you what's going on with them, how fearful they are, you know. We had this one member that came in. She didn't have a whole lot in common with us because I need to say that a majority of that meeting is African Americans. And she's a little white lady. You know, we call her Mustang Sally because she slowed the Mustang down in our home group. And she was real apprehensive about us. You know, we was loud, and, you know, she kind of quiet. And, you know, to watch her progress, because she just celebrated her first year at that home group, and to watch her progress over this year, you know, she opened up, she let people in, she took on some service positions, you know, and that takes a lot of courage for a newcomer to take on some service positions because that means they've got to interact with people, you know. And somehow or another, y'all, she got a year. And to sit there and watch that woman celebrate the year was one of the benefits of being a member of that home group. Because I got to watch her progress. I got to talk on the phone with her some nights when she didn't feel like she wanted to stay here. You know, you pull her up after the meeting and ask her what's going on. And, you know, she would cry. And she'd be embarrassed because, you know, she cried in front of us people. You know, she was supposed to be the strong one. You know, we tell her, it's okay that you feel like you feel. You know, and to come back next week and let us know how you're doing, you know. I mean, she'd come back the following week and share her process with us, you know. I don't know, if you're new in this program, get yourself a home group. And if you do not feel that your home group is the best group in your area, I ain't telling you to find another one, but perhaps you might want to start seeking some other groups. You know, because if you go into a meeting that you feel like you're not welcome, if you go into a meeting that you feel like you're not comfortable there, you don't belong and you're not a member, it's something wrong. You know, because Narcotics Anonymous embraces everybody. We don't give a damn if you're tall, short, wide, fat. We got them all in our meeting. We got some big ones in there. We got some little ones. You know, we got, and I'm one of the loud ones, but we got some real quiet ones, you know. And it's the collective sources that make that group what it is, you know, because it ain't no big eyes and little U's. You know, we have some people that sit at our secretary's table with control issues, you know. And every week there's a little controversy over there. You know, but they make that group what it is, you know, because in spite of, you know, the differences of opinion and the various things that go on, at the end of that meeting, we all going to hug each other. You know, we all going to give some love, and we're going to let somebody know that it's okay to be you, you know, because it's okay for us to be us. You know, now, we didn't get here overnight. We're going to let you know that. We do not get here overnight. But if you keep coming back, things will get better, you know, at our business meetings. Ain't no whole lot of controversy about how much money to hold on to or what we going to do with the money. You know, that the bottom line is you pay the rent, you buy the literature, and the rest go to area. We ain't got no whole lot of debate about that, you know, because we also are fully aware in that group of the 24 principles and the 12 steps and the 12 are traditions. Even though it's not a step in tradition meeting, we're fully aware of them. You know, and they are not negotiable in our home group, you know. And we had some people that come in that want to try something. You know, we let them know we'll address that at the business meeting. You know, and if you really think it's important, come back. Because that's when we address those issues, and more than likely they don't come back. And if they do, we open-minded to what they have to say, but the group has a conscience, and we're going to stick by it. You know, a lot of times people think that, you know, we running shit in that area. You know, look at them, over there making decisions, you know, because our group also decided that in order to celebrate the anniversary, we suggested that you come to a few business meetings. You know, and a few people thought that that was Janae's shit, you know, but really it was the conscience of the group, you know. And it caused some controversy with some very good friends of mine because they weren't able to make the business meetings, you know. And I would tell them just as nice, well, if you got an issue with it, come to the business meeting. You know, it can be addressed in a business meeting, but it's not negotiable right now. You know, the meeting not going on, there ain't no business meeting, so let's talk about something else. You know, but the bottom line is we do that not to govern anybody or dictate to anything, but we need some structure. Because if people just start doing what they want me, if you give me the chance to do what I want, when I want, and how I want, all hell gonna break loose. You know, I share this, you know, because after my 10th year anniversary, it was even right after or right before, this guy kept coming up to the secretary's table. I was the secretary of the group at the time, and he wanted a phone book. And the group had decided that the phone books were for the newcomers, you know, to pick up those 24-hour key tags. And this guy had about 2 years, and every week he would come up to the table and ask for the phone book. And I'd say real nice, the phone books are for the newcomers, you know. And that was the end of the discussion as far as I was concerned. You know, but one particular week he came up and, he snapped. You know, now I'm the type of person, I'll let you talk loud for a minute. You know, but because of my story, when I think I have to defend myself, I'm going. And he threatened me right there, you know, in the business meeting. You know, and I was kind of embarrassed after it happened, but at the time, you know, my program went right on out the goddamn window because, you know, part of my story is I was abused. And I was abused by a man who called me a bitch. And every time he called me a bitch and wanted to fight, I had to fight. And that's what took place in that meeting. And I picked up a chair, a metal chair, and I wanted to mash his motherfucking skull in right there in the meeting. So thank God for the home group members who stepped between me and that guy. You know, I was mad at them for a while. But they loved us enough, you know, the both of us, to not allow it to take place. But the deal is the brother never came back to the home group meeting. He never came back to the business meeting to address that issue because we don't dictate to you what you can and can't do. We just ask that if you have any complaints or concerns, bring them to the business meeting. That's not hard to do. You know, and then the thing is, we might have 90 people in our group, but when it comes time to the business meeting, at the end of the meeting, it's about six of us. You know, and it's okay with us, you know, because it ain't a whole lot of confusion, you know. One of the good things about that home group is, you know, a lot of those members are dedicated members. They show up no matter what, you know. We have a coffee maker, you know, that makes the coffee. You know, we got some donuts on the back table. You know, I always take my cupcake home so I can have with a glass of milk, you know. But those things are going to be there. You know, the literature is going to be on the table. You know, we're giving the newcomers some IPs, you know, because sometimes that may be what they need at 1:30 and 2 o'clock in the morning. They don't have the courage to pick up the phone at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning to call you and say, I feel like I want to use. But if there's literature at your home group, when they get there and you can give it to them, sometimes that may be what keeps them clean, you know, until they can get to a meeting the next day, you know. And that phone book, it's important that you have them to get to the newcomers, you know. And even though they may not make the phone calls, we take their numbers and we call them, you know. Some of them come up, well, you know, I don't know how to have relationships with women, girl, we're going to teach you. Because that's what we have, relationships with women, you know. So for the women, you know, we just love to see them come in. You know, we let them do what they need to do. Even though some of it ain't the behavior that we like, everybody has their process, and we love them unconditionally anyway because we're not exempt. You know, now some of us have some time and we know better by now, but we are not exempt. A lot of the very things that we say we may never do are subject to happen right here in Narcotics Anonymous with some clean time. You know, and I'm going to share this and shut up. One of the most beautiful things about Narcotics Anonymous is the ability to be free. You know, so even though I have some things that may never get any better than they are right now, you know, somebody told me that this may be as good as it gets. I can go into that home group knowing that this is as good as it gets, and they're going to embrace me anyway, you know. They're going to ask me on a weekly basis, how you handling that? How's it going? You know, I was unemployed for a while. You know, and I went there because, you know, after anniversaries, we go out to dinner, you know, and what we like to call is a conscience is that You help by the person who's celebrating dinner. You know, and then we got the little leeches that show up. You know, ain't got but $8 and order $15 worth of food. You know, and we'll let it happen once or twice. You know, because that's just what you do in Narcotics Anonymous. Because eventually, you know, the conscience will set in. You know, you ain't gonna start to feel good about leeching all the time. You know, and one day, you may be able to do the same thing for another suffering addict. You know, so if they ain't got no money, we tell them, come on, we got you this time. You know, and what that does is one girl told me she had never got to interact with people like that. You know, she never socialized after the meeting. She'd come in the meeting, get a slip and gone. She said that was the first time she ever got to do it. You know, and it did something for her. You know, it let her see that it's okay to be an addict. It's okay to not have the best social skills, but you belong. You feel a part of, you know. The group is awesome. So if you're ever in the Silver Spring area on a Wednesday night at 7:30, you know, come to the Wednesday Wellness Group. More than likely, you'll see me at the door waving and blowing kisses, you know. Because I don't do that just for the people. I do it for me, you know, because I know that some people need to see me, but for real, I need to see those people. I need to see the smiles on those faces, you know. I need those hugs more now than I did when I first got here, because things ain't always easy, you know. And there are some members in that group who I know love me unconditionally. And sometimes the love of another addict is all I need to know that it's going to be all right. You know, they ain't been through it. You know, I recently had a situation with my daughter. Ain't none of them been through it. But all of them care about me getting through it. You know, that's a home group. You know, that's a home group. They call you in the middle of the day, leave messages on your phone. How you and your daughter doing? You know, if you ain't got somebody in your home group that's willing to do that for you, please, you know, find yourself a home group where it will happen. You know, and if you have some members in your home group that need that, give it to them, so they have a reason to keep coming back. My name is Janae, and I'm an addict. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce our second speaker.
My name is Brian. I'm a slowly recovering addict. Also a proud home group member of the Crossroads group of Narcotics Anonymous, and that's in Olney, Maryland. That's on Thursday nights because I don't want to compete with her Wednesday night group in case you all do want to come out our way, okay? At first when she was sharing, I thought she was talking about a woman's group, you know, until she started talking about picking up that chair and stuff and hitting somebody. But our group's co-ed also, so anybody can come on out. 8 o'clock, you can get home early enough afterwards. Anyways, it's at a hospital, and it's been a pleasure being an active member of that group because what it's done to, you know, for me, it's given me the opportunity to carry the message to the newcomer as well, but not only to the newcomer, because this meeting gets a lot of support from people on the outside. Anyways, that's my home group right now, but, you know, I was trying to think about, what the heck am I going to talk about with home group other than it's a meeting and you go and you like it and that's it and you keep coming back? And that's the things that they try and teach us to do. But I would probably say the very first time I went to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous was at Suburban Hospital, and that was back in 1985. And the meeting had probably half the amount of people that are in this meeting right now, and it was one of the biggest meetings in the Montgomery area at the time. And I just remember I was in treatment at the hospital, actually, and I just remember when they asked if anybody had, 29 days or less or a desire for a new way of life. I got up and I walked down this down the aisleway, and walking down there, it seemed like I was walking 100 yards. It just seemed like it was never ending, but all I could hear was clapping, and what I felt, I can't even describe today what I felt when I picked up my one-day chip. And I turned around, and it was a chip, by the way. So, it was a poker chip is what it was. And all the little paint on it rubbed off and stuff. But I remember turning around and walking back and seeing everybody looking at me and clapping. And, I just went through so many feelings. And I was so toxic, you know, at that time because I was still withdrawing. And I just remember going through there. But I was thinking, even before I picked up that one day, when I first came into the meeting, and I saw all these people standing around, and I say this a lot when I share, because, you know, I've heard people say that when they saw these people standing around in meetings, you know, and saw them smiling, they thought, man, they must be high. They got to be high if they're smiling like that. I never felt that way. When I walked into that first meeting and I saw people smiling like that, I knew they weren't high, because if they felt any way like I felt when I first walked in, they weren't smiling. So I knew that they had something that I wanted, but I didn't know how to do it. And they just told me, you just got to keep coming, and someday you're going to get it. And that's what I've done. You know, I just remember looking at them and listening to them that night at the meeting and hearing the things that they shared that night at that meeting. They shared about where I had been, and they'd done the things that I had done, and they had felt the way that I had felt. Everything except for they just didn't look the way that I looked. They were happy at that time in their life, and I wasn't. You know, I was still, you know, I was brand new, and you know, the whole thing was new to me. And, you know, that was very attractive to me, to see people that were happy that weren't high, because the only way I knew how to be happy was to be high. And so I'd like to sit up here and say, yeah, at that moment I became committed to Narcotics Anonymous, and but I did stay clean. I never used from that point on. You know, I've been clean since 1985, I kicked and screamed, and I balked at a lot of different things that people wanted me to do. But in the long run, I did. I followed some suggestions that I got from people in these rooms, and I did basically what I had to do. I went to a lot of meetings, I hung out, and I started doing some things. But I chose Suburban Hospital as my home group because I was the first meeting I walked into. I felt comfortable as heck the first night I was there, and the people welcomed me. And wasn't anything more than I could ask for. Plus, I didn't know much of anything else. I hadn't been to many more other meetings. So I went there every week, along with several other meetings during the week. And I did that for my first year of recovery. You know, my first year was a bitch. Some people, the first year is a gift. Some people, it's harder. You know, my first year, I had an accident where I caught my hand in a printing press. And I had had three surgeries in my first year, and I was on all kinds of narcotics in my first year. I went through all kinds of struggles of whether or not I was having relapses. And, you know, I mean, now I look back and go, that's a bunch of crock. You know, I mean, I didn't choose to stick my hand in a printing press so I could get narcotics. There's simpler ways of getting them. And but at the time, being an addict and not really knowing where I'm at and really knowing a lot about recovery and everything like that, I was really questioning whether or not I was relapsing and stuff. And I'd like to say that, you know, all these people from my home group showed up and all this stuff. They didn't. You know, they flew me to Baltimore, so I was in a hospital in Baltimore. But I do know exactly when I committed myself to Narcotics Anonymous. And that was when I was in this hospital room, and there was four guys that came in to my hospital room from Prince George's County, actually a different county that I even lived in. And they said, we heard some guy from Montgomery area was in the hospital and needed a meeting. He just came in there, walked in there, and I'm still touched today, you know. And they had a meeting for me right then and there. And at that point, I committed myself to Narcotics Anonymous. That's when I knew that this was the fellowship for me and that this is where I belonged. Not that I ever really doubted the fact that I was an addict, but I knew that this is really where I needed to be. And, you know, I had a lot of old friends, people that I used with that knew of the incident that happened that weren't there for me. And I understand why they weren't today, you know, because they're addicts. You know, many of them are addicts, and when we're caught up in our addict, we're, you know, self-centered and can't really bother with a whole lot of other outside distractions. So I made a decision at that point, you know, that this is where I was gonna be, but I still hadn't fully gotten over all that, you know, those issues of whether or not I questioned myself, even though at that point I knew that I was clean. But my first year, I didn't actively celebrate my first year of recovery. I don't look back on it and regret it. I actually led a meeting the night after, but I was even on narcotics when I led the meeting, you know. But I picked up that one-year medallion, and they clapped for me the same way they did for that first one. Mm. And I remember that one, too, you know. wasn't long after that, I left that home group, and there was reasons why, and it had nothing to do with the group itself. It had something to do with a career move that I had, and in my own job, my profession, and stuff like that. So I had moved away from that home group, and I live in the Montgomery area. I've lived in the Montgomery area all my recovery. But I took, my home group was in Laurel in central Maryland, my years 2, 3, and 4. And one of the reasons why I took, picked this meeting called Day by Day Group as my home group is because I was talking to my sponsor for a while, and we were talking a little bit about step work and stuff like that, and then he said, how many step meetings do you go to? I said, I don't go to any step meetings. I don't really like step meetings. And he goes, oh, you don't? He says, well, I want you to try and go here, 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 and here. And I started hitting some step meetings. And he said, now I want you to pick one of them as your home group. And, I needed a push at that point, And I knew the people there, so I felt comfortable enough to go there. But I also, it was the autonomy of the group that I needed, I needed that. I needed to be exposed to the 12 steps. And I was getting it in talk and stuff I got on the side, but I needed to really be exposed to it. And that's where I started really hearing about the steps. And man, some of the things I have heard about the steps are valuable tools that I hold close to me today. Tools like in my fifth step, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being. The part of admitted to ourselves I learned in a step meeting. Because I was struggling with that, and some guy said, take your four step, walk in the bathroom, look yourself straight in the mirror, and talk to yourself. And I did that, and it worked. And it helped me to get through that part of the fifth step so I can move on and get with another human being and start talking about me and trying to deal with some real stuff that was going on in my life. But the autonomy of that group was something that I loved, but I also loved the people there. There were some really, 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 really cool people at that meeting. I loved the atmosphere of the group. It was the one thing I didn't like, but it's funny to watch addicts. It was a smoking meeting. Back then, you could smoke churches. Man, they probably let you smoke in synagogues back then. I don't know, but it was a smoking meeting. And it's funny, this half of the room can smoke and this half can't. Yeah. But we'd sit in there and you'd watch one person light up a cigarette, and that's all it took, Next thing you know, 20 people in there, and you're like, you're trying to cut through the smoke, just to see the speaker, But I liked that about the meeting. Even though I was a smoker at the time, I didn't smoke in the meeting because it was just too damn smoky. But I liked that about the meeting. That was just one of the things I liked about it. I don't know why, I just did. But one day the church came to us, the location where we were holding the meeting, and they came to us and they said, we need to have the church one of the two nights that Narcotics Anonymous is occupying the space here. And there was a meeting there on Saturday night and a meeting there on Tuesday night. And the Saturday night meeting had been there longer. So the group, the right thing to do is they're going to stay and we're going to find a new location. And this will go to show you, what can happen in Narcotics Anonymous, because we found a new location, and we found a location in an elementary school. They let us come in at night, and they had a janitor there that let us in and everything like that. But the atmosphere of the group changed, and the group perished because of that. And it's sad, because I've seen that happen a lot in Narcotics Anonymous, that groups will start and then they'll fall apart. But I've also had the opportunity to watch Narcotics Anonymous grow so much. I mean, it's incredible how big. I have an old meeting list that I save. I have it pinned up on my bulletin board at work. It's a piece of cardboard. It's about 4 inches wide by maybe, 12 inches. And one side has all the meetings, and the other side has half, and that's for D.C., Northern Virginia, and Maryland. And it ain't like that no more, So Narcotics Anonymous is here to stay, and it's going to keep growing. And it's going to grow because the thing is I'm important to the group, but the group's also very important to me, and I have to care enough about the group to show up and bring leadership to the group as well, because I care about the atmosphere of recovery. And when I care enough about it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and carry a message of Narcotics Anonymous to the group. Okay? After that group changed and moved over there, either people couldn't get there because it wasn't close to public transportation, okay, or they just didn't like the location, or they didn't like the way it was set up. You know, sometimes people don't like the way the meetings are inside, and that's cool. My wife likes a meeting that, she likes this one meeting that she would go to, and I don't like it as much because, you know, the people walking in and out and the doors banging, and I ain't got nothing against kids because I got two of them, you can hear them and they're running around and everything like that, and that's cool. But it's just very distracting there. Now, my home group, you hear elevators opening and closing, and you'll hear this woman, visiting hours are now over, right in the middle of how it works. Every week somebody's reading how it works, and that announcement comes over the intercom, and then the ding and donging of the elevators, and the kids running around in there as well, and they're doing the same things they're doing at this other meeting, but for some reason it's not distracting to me at this meeting, not at the meeting where I'm at now. But anyways, after that, I made that my home group for years 2, 3, and 4 was the day-by-day group. And when that ended, I really wanted to get to, a different meeting and find a new home group. So I did. And that one landed me out in the Greenbelt Lanham area. Once again, here I am traveling from Montgomery County all the way out there. Part of it was like, yeah, I'm working for my recovery. I'm driving, But it also gave me a lot of excuses because I got a motorcycle. So I could, hey, I'm going to my meeting. It gave me a reason to go riding and things like that. But I would find a sense of serenity even when I would do those things. Or it would give me a reason to pick up a buddy in recovery and bring him out to a different area. Hey, man, come check this meeting out over here in this county. And you know what? When I started going to meetings in two different counties, I really developed a network. I met a lot of different people. And these counties aren't that darn far apart. They're really not as far. Man, you coming from the other county? And it's like, yeah, it took 15, 20 minutes to get here. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, think about what you would do to get some dope. You'd wait all day long for the dope man. So I started going out to this meeting Friday Night Live. And that was a step meeting, too. I kind of stuck with step meetings for a long time. And I took on, by the way, at all these other meetings, I did service work, too. I figured, if I want to be a part of the group, I gotta do selfless service. And however I do it, one meeting I was a secretary, and then when that position ended, I took on a treasurer's position. When that one ended, I took the GSR position. I went right through the cycle. Mm-hmm. Whatever I could get, I would do. And when I went out to the meeting out in at Friday Night Live, I took on a position as the secretary out there, brought in your speakers, and it was kind of neat, because you really had to do some footwork, when you're working these step meetings. You got to know that you're bringing in a message of recovery from Narcotics Anonymous. You got to find people that have worked these steps, You can't go up to some guy with 6 months and ask him to come in and share about the 12th step. I mean, you could, but, we all know how to carry the message, but technically you want to try and bring in somebody who's really worked through a cycle of the steps, and hopefully nobody's done that in 6 months. If they have, I would love to know what that solution is, but there is no graduation from here. That meeting actually moved a couple times, and I didn't mind the atmosphere changing at those places. They just did, but then I had a conflict with another job, and I had to start working Friday evenings. And finally I took the term home closer to home with me. I finally found a home group that was right around the corner from me. And, and now my other job didn't interfere with my ability to get to meetings that were closer to home. So I started going to the Crossroads group up at Montgomery General Hospital back when probably close to 8 years ago now. 7 or 8 years ago, and that's been my home group ever since. I've done some service work there, but my service position now is when they say, at the end of the meeting, can you all pick up your chairs and put them over here against the wall, and the other ones go around the table? That's my service work, because I owe that to Narcotics Anonymous, and I owe that to the institution where we're doing the meeting to do that. I've stepped out of some service positions to allow other people to come in and do service work. I just show up, and I try to do what I can to bring leadership and be a part of the group's conscience, When I'm talking about leadership, I'm not talking about running the meeting or anything like that. I'm talking about having some experience of being in Narcotics Anonymous and being there trying to make sure that the message of Narcotics Anonymous is not tainted in any way. I'm talking about being in a hospital right now where there's a detox and a rehab. So a lot of people are exposed to this fellowship and others. And I'm trying to make sure, along with other people, because there's a lot of experience in my home group of people coming in from the outside. This isn't an H&I meeting, and they come in and they carry the message of NA, and trying to make sure that it's not that's nothing is tainted at all, that the message is clear cut, that it is Narcotics Anonymous. And sometimes with our sixth tradition, I've been struggling with that, and I'm just going to share that here. And hopefully not many people, unless they're in here from my home group, but hopefully not many people from my home group buy this tape. because I got with my sponsor last weekend. I had some stuff going on with me that some things have been bothering me about my home group, And, I didn't feel comfortable enough at that point bringing it up in the group's conscience, Holding the group conscience and talking about some of these issues, because I was, I'm trying to take a look at my side of the street first sometimes, and if I start getting in a group conscience, I might start trying to bully people around, trying to act like I know everything when in fact I don't. That's why I say I'm a slowly recovering addict, because I want to remain as green as I can, and I always want to be teachable. But, there's been some things that have been happening in the group that I haven't been real happy with. And I wanted to make sure it wasn't just me, So I got with my sponsor, and we spent about an hour and a half one day just kicking it out by some lake, real peaceful out there, and talking about it, and I got some clarity, and I'm ready for the next group's conscience now, And there will be some things that I'll talk about, but I didn't want to go in there and start doing that until I did, and that's one of the benefits. See, my sponsor is also an active home group member of the same group, and I'm grateful that he is. That's where I got him. My first sponsor, was from the Montgomery area, and he moved out of the state, so I had to find a new sponsor. And when you were sharing up here about sponsorship. My sponsor that I got, we had the one that I got after my second sponsor, we had nothing in common really at all, but he was really serene, and I learned over time that we had a lot in common. I just didn't, from the outside, the appearance, I couldn't tell that, and we had a lot in common, but the thing that we had the most in common is that we could share real well together. And I've had him as a sponsor, and he's still my sponsor today. I saw him downstairs, I hugged, and hey, what's going on? But he moved too out of state, and I need somebody a little closer to home, but I still call him my sponsor. He's like my spiritual, guy that I look to in certain situations. But I picked up another sponsor, somebody that I saw regularly at my home group, because I needed somebody who I know was going to be there. And then, and I had him for a while, and we can move on too. We're allowed to do that, We don't have to be stuck, And I don't think that I was stuck with this person that was my sponsor, but I was ready to move on to somebody else. The other guy gave me exactly what I needed during the time that I needed it. And I'll share about that in a minute. But I picked up another sponsor, and my sponsor, I don't know how much of a message this is to some people here, but to me, it says a lot about the quality of recovery of Narcotics Anonymous. My sponsor has half the amount of clean time than I do, because it doesn't matter to me how much time you have. It's about the quality of your recovery. And when I went out there to that lake last weekend and shared with him, I wasn't counting days. Mm. I was listening to the message. And he has given me some excellent guidance throughout the time that I've worked with him. And he's an awesome dude. He really is. And we have a lot in common, too. But if you'd look at him, you'd say no, you know. All these guys that I get as my sponsors, it's funny, you know. And but he's a real cool guy. Now, going back to home group. I think it's real important for a group to be stable, because if a group isn't stable, it's gonna fold. And if groups keep folding everywhere, then the fellowship's gonna fold. And if the fellowship folds, the addict's gonna die. And I don't want to see that happen. So if I can support people in any way that I can, I will. But what I try to do with my home group right now is, my home group is a place that I can go and I can't hide. And that's the big thing, because when I was towards the end of my active addiction, much of my addiction was spent in isolation. Maybe me and one other person, and we lied to each other all the time. You know, man, we're gonna get, you know, we get a bunch of shit and say, oh, we're gonna go out, we're gonna pick up some women tonight, and we're gonna do all this stuff, and then, but let's go do just a little bit to get going, you know, and we go back to my place, and that'd be it. And you know, 2 days later, we'd be coming out of the house, you know, and you know, with our heads hanging, all, you know, shame and, you know, guilt and all that stuff. You know, done spent the whole paycheck, everything's gone. So I spent a lot of time in isolation, and what the group has done for me, it's made me feel a part of, and I can't hide. You know, I show up, and if I'm not there, sooner or later, I'm going to get a phone call. You know, somebody's going to touch base. What's going on? You know, where you been at? And but you know what? I try not to let that happen. If I'm not going to the meeting that night, I try to touch base with somebody. Hey, I'm not going to see you tonight, because, you know, I want them to know what's going on with me. I don't want them to have to come chase me down. And if they don't hear from me, then more than likely they are going to chase me down. You know, so that's one of the things that I try to do there. Another thing was, I talked to a woman last week after the meeting. I talked to her about Narcotics Anonymous. That's what I talked to her about, you know. I felt really good when I was done, too, because she hasn't decided yet where she wants to go for recovery. And this is a program based on attraction rather than promotion. And I shared some of my own experiences with her. I told her how NA worked for me and left it up to her, you know, and told her to keep coming back, you know. But I felt really good when I did that. I left out of there that night, and I felt good about who I was, what I'm about today, and what I've learned here in this fellowship. The other thing is I know that I can count on anybody in my home group. Man, you should see, it's incredible, the sponsorship family that I have in my home group. You know, the people I sponsor, but the people my sponsor sponsors, and then the other people that he sponsors, sponsees, you know. I mean, it's a huge group of people, you know. And it's one big family, you know. And it's really neat. And I know that I can call upon any of them if I ever need to. Now, the other thing is, I called upon a guy one day back on November 11th, 1999. And I called up a friend of mine who's also a guy, a sponsor, and one of the closest people in my life now. And I called him up and I said, I need you to cover the meeting for me tonight, because I was a secretary. And he said, all right, I can do that. And he says, why? And I said, you know, and then I broke out, and, you know, my dad died. And I'm still touched today, and I miss my dad. Anyways, I told him, you know, go ahead and cover the meeting for me. I need to be at home with some people, with my family, and spend some time with them. And then I was at home, and a couple people called and, you know, send their condolences and stuff like that about my dad. And then what happened was, I'm sitting at home, and I said, what am I doing here? I'm sitting here, and I'm feeling sorry for myself, even though I should be happy that he died because he was suffering. But what am I doing here? I need to be at a meeting. And it wasn't like I was bailing on my family. You know, I said, I need to be where I can get what I need. And I went up to the meeting, and I walked in. They kind of started it open, and then I walked in there, and he said, the guy that, excuse me, the guy that was taking over the chair for me that night, he said, hey, come on, take over, you know. So I sat down, and people finished the readings and stuff like that, and then the speaker shared, and because this one's an open discussion meeting, by the way, it's not a step meeting. Anyways, the speaker shared their experience, strength, and hope, and then I bawled my eyes out. And that's what a home group is. It's a place that you can really put down your walls and realize no matter what, you're not going to be judged. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know you all, and I could cry right now. But that night, I got exactly what I needed. I people came up and they were there for me. And they weren't trying to fix my pain, you know, because they knew they couldn't take that from me. But they could be there to support me through it. And they did. And it was awesome, you know. And I didn't have to go out and get high. And that's the bottom line. And they did their job that night. Because I wasn't capable of doing it. But I did my job the next week by coming back. They did their job. The primary purpose is to help the addict who suffers. And I was suffering. And they kept me clean. The next week, I got to come back and tell them, because of you, I didn't use. And I helped somebody else. You can't keep what you have unless you give it away. And, they helped me through that crisis. And, I say that because there was another meeting at one point at Day by Day Group. That was in Laurel, that I bawled my eyes out in there one night. And I'm just not that type of person, although I find that I'm a little bit more emotional now than I ever was when I was using. But, I remember a friend of mine, one of the guys I was closest to ever, was, you know, he was the closest person I was to in recovery, and he was moving to Florida. And I lived with him for 5 years of recovery, and we were really close, and he was moving. And I was tore up because of that. But I was able to share, and people were there, be able to be there for me. And that's one of the biggest gifts that I've gotten here, is just the friendships that I've developed, people being able to be there for you, and me being able to carry the message to those who seek it. I know that if I don't have a home group, then I'm not going to meetings that I like. You know, I have to have a home group, and I always have. If you don't have a home group, I don't know how else to say it other than the way she said it, then you're not going to the right meetings. You know, you'll know when you're in the right meeting when you're sitting in your home group. And you know what? Even though there's been some controversy in my own mind about the way our group has been operating recently, I know that I'm a part of the group's conscience, but I don't have to bail. And that's been my pattern, you know. I think that's a pattern of many addicts, is just to bail out and say, forget it, I don't want to deal with it. And I don't have to do that. Anyways, I want to thank the Montgomery area and CPRCNA for having me come out and share on this topic, which, like she said, it wasn't one I had to come up here and lie about, you know, especially now, because I know I've been talking more than 15 minutes, and they say, you know, 10 minutes, you're cutting it close, any more than 15, you're usually lying, and I don't feel like I had to come up here and lie to anybody here. I'm just sharing what I've gone through. Also want to let you all know that I need you people more in my life than when I first got here, because I got a lot more to lose today than when I first got here. Thank you all. Thank you.